You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nathan.
Welcome.
Did you just burp?
Welcome to Graham and Nathan's Little Big Podcast.
That's a yes.
We're still pinging out these episodes and we're doing it for you. We want to keep you company because we know you are bored at home.
Bored at home? We'll do our best. We'll keep these coming as long as we're allowed to. As long as they'll let us. And last week, want to do a big shout out to Gil.
Oh, big Gil.
Coming to us from Hong Kong.
It was absolutely phenomenal.
Hong Kong.
My friend Gore, who listens to this podcast week in and week out, he said that was his favourite episode of all time.
Wow.
Because it was informative and there was little sprinklings of entertainment. So thank you to Big Gil once again. But Graham, thank you to you for being so goddamn popular. Because you have a lot of friends. A lot of friends in big places who enjoy travelling abroad. And this man who's going to be joining us today, very good looking.
Here we go. We've got the problems with Skype again. Here we go. We've got to call him on Instagram first.
His name is John Mack.
Well, you don't have to download Skype. If you just go to Skype, okay? And if you go to chat now underneath the download button. So, one second now. Let me log out. We had this problem with
Big Gil.
Bloody Big Gil. Skype is so complicated.
Can I pass John Mack?
Just one second. So if you go onto skype.com, John Mack, yeah?
I think I could be in.
Or chat. It says chat now.
Hold the phone. Hold the phone.
Literally am holding the
I'm
phone.
I'm getting aroused. Getting as hard as a nickel here. I haven't heard from John Mack in a very long time. I think the last time I spoke to this man was the year after your 21st, Graham. Where was it, your 21st?
The year after my 21st.
Yeah, did we go down again after the 21st?
No, he went after my 20th. You probably met him at my 21st. Did you meet him at Forbidden Fruit? No, I don't think so.
No, I wasn't cool enough to go to Forbidden Fruit.
He wouldn't want to have met me at Forbidden Fruit.
Ah, now behave yourself, young man. But this man, John Mack.
I'm quite glad you didn't meet me at Forbidden Fruit.
Would you be John Mack D 1917?
Oh, that would be him.
No, John Dot McDonald 92.
John Dot MCD. John Mack.
John Mack is in Malaysia at the moment.
Oh, gotcha. Lewsburg. I'm going to call you now, John, see what happens.
Right. I'm not wearing any t-shirts,
though.
Sorry.
Oh, yes. What a treat. This is like chat roulette. But normally they're not wearing any clothes whatsoever.
Okay.
I love that sound.
There we go.
We in. Oh, I love that sound.
He loves it.
John Mack in the house, just answer your phone. John Mack in the gaff, yeah, he's not alone. John Mack, he's on his Toblerone. That makes no sense.
If your problem's here, he might use his phone. If you didn't,
I'd prefer now to see him on video.
Oh, sorry, one second. We're back.
We're back, John Mack.
What's wrong?
Yeah, no, there's no call coming through.
Yeah, I know, we have this problem a lot. Okay, so you have the Skype window open on your laptop, yeah?
Yeah, it says web.skype.com and like it says hello, welcome, John.
Graham, get John Mack to find you.
Yeah, but you call me.
Yeah.
So it's just Graham O'Toole. Graham O'Toole.
Are you not doing Insula Owen?
I changed the accounts around, so now I've got my...
Shout out to Owen Costler.
Invite to Skype, that is?
if you just... Should say Graham O'Toole should pop up.
Graham O'Toole. Yeah.
Geo. Geo, baby.
For anyone that wants to know what John Mack looks like, I would say Zac Efron out of 17 again. Have a look at that film.
Okay.
I said hi.
I've accepted you.
Here we go. I have a good feeling about this. This is edge of the seat sort of stuff that you can only get on this podcast.
Have you called me?
Oh, sorry, am I calling? Oh,
I'll call
you
in a second.
Come on, big communication here, boys.
Okay.
Ah, jeez, that finished early.
Yeah, I'm calling you now.
Ah, boys, come on now.
Okay, you call me.
Okay.
I won't do anything.
Right. Oh, I can't wait for this.
Wait, video or audio?
Gotcha. Hello. Yeah! Look at this glorious man.
Now, I can't hear you.
Can you hear us?
Oh, I can hear you now. Class.
You won't be able to see us because we don't have camera.
God, he looks like Matt Damon out of Good Will Hunting. I love the necklace, John Mack.
Ooh, I've got like a little, look at this.
Oh.
Your hair's getting long.
Wow, you've gotten very strong in Malaysia. What's the diet like over there?
Well, I mean, I'm quarantined, so like we're just cooking our own food. Actually, Paul and Nathania are kind of cooking dinner in there, so quite handy.
Okay. I have so many questions.
Let's go back to the beginning.
I have so many questions, John Mack.
Hello.
Oh, here we go. Jesus, John Mack, can you hear us?
I can't hear you.
John Mack. John Mack, attack.
Hello,
John Mack. Did you press anything, Graham?
No.
Any buttons?
No.
John Mack, come on now. Settle down. Oh, he's looking at us with pure puzzlement.
John, are you there? John, are you there?
Jesus, John Mack. We can just see a video of John Mack. He's on his bed. He's looking so surprised. Wow, he's absolutely shredded.
Hold on a second. I'm going to get a wife beat.
Can he hear us?
He said he can't hear us. He just gave us a message there.
Oh, this is so sad.
God, this.
This is what it must feel like, you know, at the end of a film. You're trying to call their name and they can't hear you, but you can see them. God, he has lovely pillowcases.
Say that again. Hmm? What's it like?
It's like being at the end of a film.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like, Graham, but you can't hear me and I'm about to get assassinated. Oh, that's a lovely purple tank top.
He can't hear us. We'll have to call him back.
John Mack just supported a beautiful baggy purple tank top. John Mack.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
Okay.
Oh, he's back.
It's all good.
John Mack, we have so many questions.
Yeah.
So please, just lie down and enjoy, my good man. First of all, how do you know Graham? Because both of you are very good friends.
Oh, yeah, sure. We went to school together. Well... If we omit the part where he bullied me relentlessly for about a year.
Graham!
John, why would you say that on my podcast?
Graham, when did you do that?
Me and Graham have been good friends since about second class.
No, okay. I will tell you the truth. I will tell you the truth about that, okay?
This has left a bitter taste in my mouth.
He isn't entirely wrong. I was a little bit of a dickhead to John when we were young, and I regret it, and it's one of the biggest regrets of my
life. Graham, you've never spoken about this.
I'll tell you why, and I'm ashamed. But in my defense, I have a defense, John Mack, okay?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
You're going to say I had a stupid American accent.
No, that wasn't it. It was because, and this is how juvenile it was, because John Mack came in first class, and up until then, it was me, Stephen, Nim Nim, Brian and Alan, and we used to play football 2-on-2, and John Mack came and made the teams uneven.
Odd numbers.
So I was like, geez, does he have to play football with us? Because it makes it uneven. But the beauty about that is then we just put Alan on the team with 3 all the time.
Alan, not a good player?
Alan, we love Alan.
He tries his best.
But no, me and John Mack, we've been very close after that initial It was just teething problems, I reckon.
A long-time listener of the podcast would be aware of the many exotic trips that you go on, Graham. Mm-hmm. It's because you were actually hanging out with John Mack. Didn't you once, I think you said it on the podcast, correct me if I'm wrong, but both of you ate a very smelly fish.
No, that was in Malaysia where we went canoeing. So
I ate the fish.
We'll just go to the holidays myself and John Mack have been on. The very first one was Las Vegas, where I was in Vancouver, and then you joined me and some friends I made in Vancouver for 3 nights in Vegas, wasn't it?
Yeah, three fairly debaucherous nights, I might add.
Yeah, it was insane, Las Vegas. We stayed in the MGM, we played a lot of roulette, we went around to the clubs, went to pool parties. It was a lot of fun. Then the next one we went on would have been Thailand.
Yeah.
Where myself and John Mack ended up in hospital, as well as our friend Nicola. There were 6 of us in total on the
food
holiday.
Food poisoning.
We don't know what it was. We reckoned we were poisoned by the hotel staff because because we started giving them lip. Huh?
Because we got like all that like neon colouring paint all over our clothes and on the sheets of the bed, and they tried to charge us a lump of money.
It was after the full moon party as well, but also their pool wasn't working, so we were very annoyed with them that they were charging us full whack and we didn't have access to a pool.
Forgot about the pool.
Yeah, that was the main reason that we were giving out to him.
Except a green colour.
Yeah, and then our next trip would have been, barred the small trips over to England, it would have been Dubai.
Dubai.
John Mack was teaching in Qatar for a while, and we met over in Dubai. Because you said Qatar isn't a great place. Doha is where you were, where the World Cup is going to be held. You said it's not a great place to go out. What was your experience in Doha?
Well, it was grand. Like, it was, I mean, the weekends were class. Like, money was good. Like kind of lifestyle on the weekends is class. Like, I did some amount of drinking there because there's not a whole lot to do. Like, so
can you drink? You're allowed to drink over there, yeah?
Oh, we drank the head clean off ourselves. Like, oh, that's all you could do. At the weekends, it was so hot during the day that like there wasn't much else to do. And alcohol was so expensive in bars, like normally. Like, going for 2 or 3 pints would cost you the same as going for the brunches. So you'd pay about 60 or 70 euro. And for 4 hours, be unlimited food and alcohol. So everybody each weekend just got absolutely loaded drunk.
Was it because you were kind of not enjoying, per se, the actual job as a teacher and that you were just living for the weekend, literally?
Well, for me, yes, that was my issue because I was teaching in a, well, quote-unquote international school with loads of local Qatari kids who were, unfortunately, some of the most ignorant people I've ever encountered.
Really? Why?
Oh, they were just so rude and so entitled. Like, you've got kids that are going home and like their parents, particularly the boys, the girls were bad as well, though, to be fair. Like, their parents would say that they're the man of the house at like 13. So the kids would have like 2 or 3 Range Rovers, Toyota Land Cruisers outside the house. They had Filipino maids and Indian and Sri Lankan like drivers. And basically these young 11, 12, 13 year old kids were bossing around these maids and drivers. So whenever they'd come into school and we'd be telling them to, you know, label a diagram of the leaf or write the equation for photosynthesis, they basically just told us to fuck off. Behavior, like, well, not didn't, actually. Didn't, well, actually, some of them used to say Kilzek, which means eat shit.
Kilzek, John Mack. I'm fascinated by the fact that you're such a well-travelled man. Do you not miss Ireland at all?
No, I do miss it a bit, yeah. Especially in times like these when you can't get home to see your kind of family and friends. But I do miss it. But, you know, there's times as well. Like, I rang mum and dad yesterday and she was just saying how it's blind and drizzling and rain at home. And I look out the window and sure, today it was 30 degrees outside and clear skies. So, I mean, the only thing I miss is family and friends and not being close to home.
But and who are
aside
you?
Aside from that, there's not a whole lot I do miss, to be fair.
Who are you living? Who are you living with in Malaysia?
So, before this whole virus crack started, I was actually just living by myself in my own apartment next to the school. But now that the whole virus thing's kicked in, I've moved down to my girlfriend's to Nathaniel's house, and Paul, as the brother, has managed to arrive in. You know, a few hours before the lockdown commenced.
Yeah, so let's go back to, you were in Doha, you wanted to get out of there, you moved over to Malaysia last year teaching. Before we get into the reason you're on here, is to tell us what it's like over there, coronavirus. How have you adapted to the life in Malaysia? Because I visited you last, October to Kuala Lumpur, and it was fantastic. You seem very happy over there in comparison to how you were in Qatar.
Oh man, yeah, way happier. Like the lifestyle here is, it's like you've got, everybody speaks English here. Like it's really, obviously I think Malaysia used to be part of the British Empire or whatever, so it's very multicultural. You've loads of, you've Chinese Malay, you have Malay, like local Malaysians, you've Indian Malay, and then you've just got a lot of like South Koreans, you got Singaporeans. So it's a real, it's very multicultural, and because everybody speaks different languages, English is kind of like the intermediate language that everybody speaks. So that's quite handy. Food and everything is so much cheaper than it was in Qatar. My salary, like my monthly wage isn't as good as it was in the Middle East, but because your expenditure is so much lower, you're saving a lot more. And just the weather's a bit nicer. Like it rains compared to Qatar. Like, and what's nice about it is that it rains nearly every day at the same time at around like 3 or 4 o'clock for about like an hour and a half, like a big massive thunderstorm, downpour rain. But then that's it. So you can kind of, unlike Ireland where it's raining all day long, you can kind of plan things here. You're like, okay, I can't do something between maybe the hours of 3 and 6 because you don't know when the rain's going to come. But aside from that, the weather's absolutely gorgeous.
John Mack,
go on.
I don't want to appear like the Daily Mail, but I am interested. How did you meet your new girlfriend?
So I met her in Qatar. She was I used to have to get on a septic school bus every morning. I had to get up at 10 to 5 in the morning and get a, yeah, it was horrible. I used to have to get up at 10 to 5 to get a bus at 25 past 5 to get to the school for 10 past 6, and then the school started at 7. But her, Nathania, she was on the same bus as me, but she was going to, the bus dropped at two schools. It dropped at like a primary school, and then it dropped at my school, which was the secondary. So she was sitting beside me on the bus for about 6 or 7 months before I actually even spoke to her.
That is an amazing story.
Yeah.
What was the first time, or what was the topic of conversation? How did you break the conversation barrier?
Well, I think the first time, I think I spoke to her like 2 or 3 times before I like had a proper chat with her, like just sitting next to her on the bus, like, oh, you know, it was coming up to like an Easter holiday or something. Oh, where are you going on holidays for Easter? I'm going here. I was telling her, I think it was coming up to the Easter holiday. Like I was going to Georgia and Azerbaijan with one of my mates, and she was going to, I think, India or something. So I was just chatting like that. But then, yeah, just met her on a night out then in one of the places that we used to go to called The Backyard, and got drunk and started chatting shite, and the rest is history.
And John Mack, so she moved over with you to Malaysia?
Not initially, no. So like when we kind of got together, it was towards the end of my contract. So she was only halfway through hers. So I moved over to Malaysia. I'd already the job got in Malaysia by the time we kind of started seeing each other. So I moved over to Malaysia. She was staying in Qatar. So we didn't really know if it was going to work, to be honest. To be honest, kind of in my head, I didn't think it was going to work. But we just stayed in contact. And we decided then kind of in September, like, so she stayed in Qatar for the next year while I was in my first year in Malaysia. And she kind of decided that she was going, yeah, we decided we'd meet up for the first holiday for our half term in October. And then that went really well. So we just decided to give it a go. And we met up every holiday we had. And then, yeah, we kind of agreed by about February that she was going to come over to Malaysia. And now she's here.
Ah, that's a beautiful love story. Nice story.
Right. Let's go from the beautiful story to a horrible pandemic that is sweeping across the world. You are very close to China. How far away would you be on a flight to China?
I suppose I could get to like the closest I could get to would be like maybe Guangzhou or Hong Kong, and it'd be about 4 hours, I'd say, 4 hour flight.
Okay, so it's not that much. And the first outbreak was in December of COVID-19. Were you worried, or were the people in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur worried at all when it first started to break out? Because obviously they have history with SARS and other diseases like that.
No, nobody here was worried, not even in the slightest. It was just the same as people back in Ireland and the UK. Like, we all just kind of thought it was a Chinese disease, like they were going to have to deal with it. And even, you know, even through February and even into early March, to be honest, it wasn't that big a deal. Like Malaysia, there was one or two cases. Like I think up until like early March, there was only like 20 cases. And this is when, you know, Italy was starting to to really see a massive increase in cases. Like the UK was getting a bigger increase before, like Malaysia. We were quite fortunate. But then just recently there, the last 2.5 weeks, things slowly started to escalate.
So what's happened in the last 2 weeks?
So in the last 2 weeks, well, in the last week, really, it was last Monday was the last full day I had of school. And then it was announced that night that the country was going into lockdown. And the Tuesday we were in school, but there was no kids in. And then even on the Wednesday, no kids or teachers were allowed in school. And there's been a lockdown. So what's happened, what they've done nicely is they've kind of done it in stages. So there was a bit of like panic buying and people, you know, buying beans and tin food and toilet roll and stuff. Not the weekend gone by, the weekend before. So that was a bit weird, but they did it nicely. So they started off saying they gave like an advance notice saying, you know, in 36 hours time, whatever, there's going to be a lockdown and no tourists are allowed in or out of the country. So Paul, my brother, was traveling around Southeast Asia. He'd done a month in Vietnam. He was in Cambodia. So I messaged him and it was the strangest message I've ever sent him. Like he was traveling around with his mates. He was about to go to Thailand, and like mom and dad were worried about him. They're saying, geez, you'd want to either come home or try and stay with John because he could end up stranded. So I ended up texting him. We got the news that the lockdown was starting. So I texted him and just said, Malaysia's going into lockdown. No tourists are allowed in and out of the country. You've got 24 hours to make your decision.
So what did he say?
So he got pure spooked then. He didn't know what to do. And he rang mom and he rang me and he thought about it that night. And eventually he decided that he was going to come here. So he flew here the following day and he landed at 10 o'clock at night and the lockdown started at 12. So he got in 2 hours before the lockdown started.
But you see, he's, for people who don't know, which is probably everyone bar me and John, is he he is in Australia working. So he was in Australia on a visa and he was traveling Asia. So the issue, he couldn't get back into Australia. Wasn't that a thing as well?
Yeah, so he... The Australian lockdown had just started, yeah, that they weren't letting... I think, actually, no, they still were allowing people in, but it was like you had to quarantine yourself for 2 weeks. And then I think a day after he arrived here, they announced, like, you know, no tourists are getting into Australia. So then what happened is his mates that were staying in Thailand, like, they wanted to keep the party going. They wanted to keep on traveling. But they literally, Paul hadn't left them 2 days before they realized that Thailand started getting a bit weird as well. Like the hostels didn't close down, but they arrived in Phuket and everywhere was really quiet. A lot of the, you know, there wasn't that many backpackers around. Everybody was a bit nervous. People started wearing masks and they just got a bit spooked that hostels would close down and they'd literally have nowhere to stay. Like, so they just got a flight back to Ireland. And actually, I actually had to pay for one of their flights.
You better get that money back.
Yeah, no, I think he's transferred it to me now. But yeah, he didn't have any money. So he had to ask Paul to ask me to pay for the flight.
First of all, that's very nice to you, John.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah,
very nice.
I'm looking out for people, you know. You don't want to end up shafting lads.
John, how come it took so long for it to take off in Malaysia? Were people wearing masks? Were you acting differently? Were people keeping their social distance? Like, how come it hasn't spread that quickly in Malaysia? It took so long, considering your proximity to China.
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest. Like, when the cases first started appearing outside of China, like, we were actually, to be fair, one of the first countries to get a coronavirus case. But, like, it stayed at like one case, two case, five cases. It stayed up to like under 20 for about nearly 2 weeks. So people were like, it's grand. It's only like 20 cases, nothing to worry about. But as for why it didn't kind of skyrocket initially, I don't know. But what happened that led to the lockdown was there was a large mosque gathering. There was a huge prayer event up somewhere northwest of KL. And there was about 10,000 people at this big like mosque event. And of course, one fella had coronavirus that was at this mosque event. And literally after that day of prayer or whatever it was, within about a week of that, cases started to really soar. It went from, you know, 20 to 70 to over 100. And literally in the last week and a half now, it's been well over 100 cases being added every single day.
And what are the Malaysian government like? Are they very well organized? Do things happen very quickly?
To be honest, I'm actually surprised at how well they've been doing. I mean, in recent years, they've been criticised for being quite corrupt. I mean, a lot of people have bribed cops for... No, for
whoa. Say that again. Sorry, I think you ran the microphone over. I couldn't hear you.
Oh, sorry.
Say it again. Like,
in recent years, yeah, you know, they mightn't have been that highly regarded. Like, they, you know, there are a lot of maybe bribery of cops for speeding fines and... like parking tickets and that kind of thing. But to be fair, I am quite impressed with how they've conducted the lockdown. So they started off, gave, you know, a bit of notice about when it's starting. It first started off with, you know, like all, you know, only essential shops remaining open. So like supermarkets, banks, what else is there? Supermarkets, banks, all open. Anything that's non-essential was closed. So it started off with that, and that was okay. But then what happens was, but then initially what happened after the lockdown started, not everybody was really following the protocol. So I'd say about when he first announced this, the Prime Minister, only about maybe 60% really heeded what he was saying. So a load of people were kind of still out and about walking and kind of like we were seeing in Australia and the UK, to be honest. So a day or two after he, like the government realized that people are not everybody's following suit, they started introducing more measures. So they started introducing police roadblocks around the city, and that kind of reduced the numbers. Like, so we were driving around and you can really see on the roads are so quiet. Like, I'm talking motorways that would be, you know, you could be back to back, bumper to bumper for like 20 minutes. You now are driving along them and there's like, it's like a ghost town. There's no cars there whatsoever.
And in terms of, obviously, with all the services being shut down, people are going to be out of jobs. Is the Malaysian government looking after people in terms of their wages and stuff like they are in Ireland?
I don't know what's happening with wages, but I think they have been fairly sound. I think, I'm not 100% sure on this, but I think they have been quite lenient on, like, I think they've postponed, like, rent. Like, people don't have to pay any rent for the next few months. I think they're doing that in Ireland, aren't they? Are they doing that?
No. So they've frozen rent so they can't up it. But they're, the banks as well, some banks are putting a mortgage holiday so they've paid mortgages, but I don't think there's anything about rents in Ireland yet.
Yeah, I could be wrong. I don't quote me on that, but I think Malaysia has eased off on rent payments. They're not, to my knowledge, there's no, like, you know, subsidy like what America are about to do and, you know, introduce like a universal basic income type thing. But what's happened is, so it has got progressively more like serious, I guess. So because, you know, more and more people did start to comply and not go on the roads and go outside, but there was still a fair decent amount of people who were, you know, not complying. So the army have got involved now.
Are they bad motherfuckers?
I haven't seen them yet because they're where Nathaniel lives, her apartment, we're out in a place called Kajang, which is like a bit, it's like more of a suburb from Kuala Lumpur city. So it's quite enough out here, but I've heard stories from the kids that I'm teaching online and from people who are in the city that there's like army barracks, like jeep type things going around the city, and apparently they're fining people who are outside on the streets without a valid reason.
And how are you finding being cooped up with your brother and your girlfriend?
To be honest, actually, it's not that bad at all. Like, having more people in the house is actually, it's actually quite nice. Like, I would not like to be on my own in my own apartment now. So having Nathania and actually having Paul has been just a nice dynamic rather than just me and her, you know, on top of each other all day long. Well, both physically and
hey.
And John, what's the crack with your teaching now? So all the classes online, are you doing video classes? What's happening?
Oh, he's having a nice swig of orange juice.
Big,
there.
Big answer coming.
Is there any pulp in that orange juice?
Is there what?
Is there any bits and pulp in that orange juice?
Yeah, a bit of a smoothie. Yeah,
oh, and
yeah. There, quite nice over. wait, what did you ask me? Sorry.
What did I ask you about?
How are you teaching?
Teaching.
Oh, Jesus! Yeah, the fucking teaching. It's a real ball ache, to be honest. Like, it's. They want, obviously, you know, really good online learning, but, you know, this is, we're completely new to this. So what's expected is we have to kind of post our, you know, PowerPoint presentation or slides on like Google Classroom. And we have to essentially, I don't know if you've used it before, like you can Google Hangout call people. So it's a like a video call. They join in and To be honest, a lot of the kids, like they're a lot of them are Malaysian or just Asian kids, and they're quite shy, so they turn off their cameras and mute their microphone, so a lot of the times it feels like I'm just talking to myself, but they do I'm staring into the screen, like, and they're there, I know they're present, but like I've been trying to, it's been difficult to try and get them to respond and answer to questions, because they're normally a bit shy anyway, but when they, you know, when you can't even see them, like I can't even see their facial reactions or whatever, so it has been, it is tough, and it's not that bad, but it's just weird, you have to change all your lessons so that, you know, things that where you'd ask them questions, you know it's a lot more difficult, so it's just new and a bit of a ball ache,
in situations like this. John, does it make you want to be back in Ireland, or are you just watching from afar thinking, look, the weather's nice here, I'm fine?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm okay here, to be honest. I don't have any real, like, it would be nice to be home just to hang out, obviously, with my close mates from home and be near to family. But if I was home, realistically, I'd be doing what I'm doing now, quarantine in the house with mom and dad. So I'd go insane if I had to stay in the house with them all day. So, to be honest, with the weather, we have a nice, thankfully, like in the city, they're a lot more strict.
Well, John, you're not going to believe it, but on the line we have your parents. No, we don't. We couldn't afford the budget.
I'm just checking your cases. So today, as of today, you had your biggest daily jump of 235 cases. So
was
now,
there?
Yeah, 235. So now you're at 2,031 cases. So you're kind of...
That's double Ireland.
Yeah. See, Ireland isn't that far behind us. That's why I'm kind of thinking, you know, I'm nearly just as well off here as I am in Ireland.
Yeah, for a smaller population as well, Ireland, it is, it's kind of scary enough. But what's the story with the testing centres over there? You know, you can see the drive-through ones in Croke Park and other GA pitches around the country. How do you get tested? If you have any symptoms over there, what do you have to do?
So if you have symptoms, I think they advise you, obviously, stay in your own apartment, like self-isolate. And I think the kind of the message is that if your symptoms aren't that bad, just, you know, stay at home. Just try and wait it out, take paracetamol, hydrate or whatever. But obviously, if you do need the doctor, I think you just ring up. I don't know the equivalent of the, I don't think you ring 911, but you just ring the doctor and they send people out to you in like the big Tyvek suits, like wearing masks and stuff.
They're a little bit sexy, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know how many testing centres they are, but one thing I will say is that like private medical care here in Malaysia is very good. So I think as long as the cases keep rising kind of, you know, as slowly as they are, like as long as we're not seeing rises in cases like they are in America now, like 10,000 and 15,000 a day, I think Malaysia will be okay, because the medical and dental care, like loads of Australians come over here to get cheap but like good dental care, and it's the same kind of with the private medical companies.
Do you know anyone with the virus?
I'm the only person I've heard of with the virus is just a nephew of a girl that it's someone in the UK. So I don't know anyone in Malaysia with the virus.
And what are the government saying to do? What's their actions? As in, over here, it's wash your hands, 20 seconds, keep washing your hands, sanitize, cough into your elbow. Is there anything else that they're doing over there?
Not really, man. Much the same. Like keep social distancing. They really don't want anybody outside at all.
Yeah, I was going to ask, can you go for a walk whatsoever, or is it complete lockdown?
That's what I'm saying. We're quite lucky. So in the city centre, like one of my students was telling me online today that if you're caught like outside, you get fined if you're not going. Essentially, if you're not going to the shop or the pharmacy. And another thing, they don't want people. They've stated that if you're going to the shop or the pharmacy, that you're supposed to go alone. They don't want to see any two or three people in cars. They want to see one person in a car going to shops and pharmacies. But we're quite fortunate. We're down out in Kajang here, and it's fairly quiet, to be honest. And there's literally a brand new park that they've just opened up. There's a brand new Starbucks that's just opened up, and that stayed open for takeaways. So every day we've just been going down to the little park and going for runs and working out, and nobody's really said anything. Like a cop car drove past us yesterday and we were working out in the park and the cops didn't say anything. So we're going to keep doing it as long as we can, really.
Well, John Mack, we're going to wrap up the podcast here, but then we're going to keep you on because we're going to do a quick interview for the radio show tomorrow. But thank you very much for joining us on the Little Big
you're
Podcast.
You're a lovely talker, John. You have a lovely voice and you're very sexy.
All right.
Cheers. Always great to hear.
I have to ask Nathan, who do you prefer, John Mack or Jack Gillivan?
I didn't think John Mack was going to be so charismatic because I haven't seen him in a long time. Big Gil is likable because he's an awkward fellow like myself.
An awkward fucker.
No, I won't say the fucker. They're both very different. You can just see. I kept thinking when you were talking, John Mack, and it was the same with Big Gil. Teaching really makes you become a better speaker. And it gives you such confidence. Do you find that? Do you feel since you're traveling and all the teaching jobs you've had, you're a much better communicator?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I've been told Graham definitely knows because I obviously grew up in Mayo, but I've been told by a lot of people that I don't really have that, you know, distinguishable an accent.
No, it's quite like neutral.
A lot of people I've met in Qatar, Malaysia, like whenever I tell them I'm Irish, they don't really know where I'm from in Ireland.
Yeah, there's a twang of, I wouldn't say it's American, but it's certainly... You have
people reckon that I've got some bit of an American.
You sound like Michael Fassbender.
Yeah,
I hope you're as hung as him.
not really. Unfortunately,
I have a tiny penis.
How do you know how hung Michael Fassbender is?
Have you seen the film Shame? He plays a sex addict. I watched it with my father, and he's completely naked in a lot of scenes.
No, I haven't seen that. Do you recommend watching it?
Oh, I do, yeah. You should watch it with the brother.
You watch it with my father?
James would love it. Are you gonna tell Monica and James to listen to this?
I will, actually, yeah. Yeah, I will.
After you saying that you wouldn't want to stay with them at home.
Ah, sure, I'll tell them that to their face.
I was going to do something weird, but can I just... No, can I just throw it out there? By all means, say no if you don't...
He's going to do something weird.
You said your girlfriend is cooking in the kitchen. Any chance we could just say hi to her?
Yeah.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, but then go back into room because we've got to get that radio interview done before we get kicked out.
I think as a podcast listener, I'd love to know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want me to bring the MacBook into the...
Bring the MacBook in and then come out because then we got to do the radio interview before we get kicked out.
Okay. Right.
Well, this is especially for Nathan now.
Oh. I might as well say hello to Paul Mack as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right, Nathan and Graham just wanted to say hello to you, Paul and to Nathaniel.
Paul!
Oh, you can, he can't see us, that's the thing.
Oh, Paul, you look great with your cap.
Thanks, Nathan.
Wow, I have to say you're a very good-looking family, but I really want to see Nathaniel.
Nathaniel's here. Just make it happen, making 6
Nathaniel, you're absolutely gorgeous.
Oi, that's my friend's girlfriend you're talking about.
Please, calm down.
Jesus Christ.
You've embarrassed her now.
It's a lovely house you're living in, guys.
Right, man, yeah, she's got this, like, well, essentially it's a 3-bedroom apartment all to herself, so it's quite handy for me and Paul moving in here, like.
Can you just go to Nathaniel once more? I just want to say something. Nathaniel.
Hi.
Nathaniel, I heard how you met John. It is a gorgeous story. It could be a film.
How did we meet?
On the bus.
It'd be a very short film.
Nathaniel, you spent many weeks on a bus with John, and then he plucked up the courage to ask you out. It was beautiful.
It was, not maybe to the same extent. It's more of a drunk conversation.
All right, John, go into the room. Let's get the radio interview done. Thank you very much, John, for joining us.
John.
On Graham and Ian's Little Big Podcast.
Yes,
thank you, Paul.
John.
Thank you, Nathaniel.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my life.